Pray before we start. Father, we thank you for your love and your presence, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word. We thank you for revealing yourself to us and continually revealing yourself to us, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you've called us as sons and daughters, that you love us and adore us, and that you share your heart with us, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that tonight you'd open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, stretch our hearts wider and deeper, Lord, to receive more of you, Lord. Open our eyes to see you through your word, Lord, because you are your word, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that your word with all its power and glory would be revealed to us tonight, and that you would speak, that I would step aside and that you would speak, Lord. I pray that you'd ignite our hearts with passion for your word, Lord, and a desire and hunger for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, tonight, I just want to share about God's word. Didn't really have a nice title for it, except the word of God, because it's simple. I think tonight's sharing is going to be kind of a simple thing, but also a very important and vital thing for us to hear, or lesson. And the Word of God is real. It is alive. It's not just a book. It ignites life. It restores. It heals. It brings to life. It uncovers things. It exposes truth. It comforts, it frees, and liberates. It also divides, because it speaks boldly about truth in our lives. It speaks about sin, so it causes some division in this life. It saves souls from hell. It brings wanderers back. It softens hearts. It opens eyes. It is alive. It is Jesus. It is God. God's word isn't merely telling us about God, but is God revealing himself to us? And that's kind of an introduction of what I want to share tonight about God's word. And it's more that my desire for us tonight is to know God's word for all of its power and glory. And many times we take God's word, not even necessarily for granted, but we just take it for words. It's a book and it's a word of God, and we hear it and we listen to it. But I think there's so much more to God's word than we actually understand, feel, or think. And it's going to be kind of a discussion, so we're going to open it up in a little bit to talk about it. So what does God tell us about his word, from his word? In Hebrews 4:12. Could somebody read that? Hebrews 4:12. And then somebody else will read Psalm 119. 103.
For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Amen.
Psalm
119. 103. Psalm 94:19 says, "In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul." His comforts are his words, what he speaks to us. Numbers 23:19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and he will not do? Or has he spoken and will not make it good?" In Jeremiah 23:29, it says, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" Again, Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. The gospel, the word of God, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And that kind of God's word is talking about God's word and telling us a little bit about it. I really love the two verses that describe the word of God. It's not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock. And for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is given to us, and he commands us to read the word of God. But a lot of times we feel like it's a duty or an obligation, so we kind of neglect the word of God. We feel like anything we kind of feel we have to do, it's kind of our nature to rebel against it. We don't want to do it. And of course, we have our old nature in us that doesn't want the Word of God. Kind of like Carlos always tells me, you know, exercise. You need to exercise. And I know it's good for me. I know I should. I know I need to. But the more I'm kind of like pushing it off, it's like my heart is getting harder and I'm rebelling even more. And then it becomes like a kind of like a duty, like something I don't want to do, you know. And sometimes we say, I read the word of God, but I don't feel anything. And that's okay, because God's word doesn't wait for us to feel anything in order for it to do its work. It's going to accomplish its work. It's not depending on our feelings and our emotions. So as we're reading God's word, the Bible says it's renewing our minds. So it's already doing something in us, even if we are feeling it or not feeling it. So we need to keep sitting at his feet and listening to his word, and he will ignite our hearts. In Luke 24, you guys remember the story after Jesus was crucified. He died and was put in the tomb. And it's talking about two disciples that were walking along the road to Emmaus. And they were kind of like sad and walking and disappointed. What happened, you know, to Jesus? And we thought he's coming here to be our king on this earth, and so there was a lot of disappointment. They felt like the story shouldn't have ended this way, so they were sad. I think there could have been bitterness, maybe numbness on their hearts, hardness. And when this man came to walk with them, which of course was Jesus, but they didn't know it, and he started to talk to them, and they said, where have you been? You don't know what's going on. You didn't hear about the crucifixion, this Jesus of Nazareth. And they started to tell him about what's going on. And then he started to speak to them. He, of course, knows, but I think he wanted to hear them say it. But then Jesus begins to explain the scriptures to them. And as he's going through the scripture, he's going through the word of God and explaining things to them. Later on, after they sat with him and he opened their eyes to know who he was, they said to one another, they said, weren't our hearts burning when he was talking to us? Their exact words is, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So as he's speaking to them, it's the word of God. God's word was doing something in their hearts and igniting something in their hearts, whether they liked it or not, whether they felt numb or not, whether they felt disappointed or not. It was doing something in their hearts. And it wasn't waiting for them to have an emotion to what he was saying. It was working because God's word is alive and powerful. Do you feel you've gone through a lot of things in your life and that your past is a mess or your present is too big or beyond anything good coming out of it? His word says that he gives beauty for ashes. And this is kind of what I want to focus on tonight, is taking hold of God's word and applying it to our lives. So when I feel like my life is a mess, my past is a mess, I'm going to take the truth of God's word and remember who God is, because his word says he gives beauty for ashes. He also says in Psalm 30:11, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing." Complete opposites: darkness, gloom, depression, anxiety, fear. You've turned my gloom, my mourning and crying into dancing. And dancing is, you could say, a symbolism of joy or an expression of joy. So God can take something completely dark and gloomy and turn it around completely. In Matthew chapter 4, and again, this is the word of God, which is powerful and what it does in our lives. And that's what we want to apply into our lives. In Matthew chapter 4, soon after Jesus was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he turned and saw Simon Peter and Andrew. Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, and said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I believe it wasn't just a generic call, "Follow me." I think there was definitely power in that word. When Jesus said, "Follow me," it wasn't just a casual calling, but his word spoke into their hearts. Maybe as fishermen, they had a lot of thinking. You know, they're sitting fishing all day, a lot of pondering about life, a lot of questions, a lot of seeking about something, seeking purpose. And I think Jesus' "follow me" really spoke deep into their hearts. And he knows their hearts. He knows our hearts. What are some things that we face in life, or we go through, or that we could take the word of God and apply it into our lives for? Let me give an example. Fear. What's a verse for fear that you could take from the word of God? If I'm living in fear, what's a verse that I could take from the word of God? You could use your phones or Bible and talk.
God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind.
Amen. What else? This is open discussion right now. What's something in our lives that we face that we could... an attack from Satan, a lie, something from our past, something present...
Doubting, like self-doubt, like if you're trying, you want to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. You doubt. Like lack of courage.
Or you know, I'm not trying to say lack of belief. You know,
like a belief.
You know that this is, yeah, God wants for you. Yeah.
And what's the word of God that we could take for a lack of belief? So if we're living in fear, we could take hold of that verse. It says, "I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind." And we could pray this over ourselves and make it our truth. It is God's truth, and we can make it over us. Because those are attacks from Satan. We take the word of God. The Bible says, what's the word of God? It's our sword. We're going to fight with this sword, and that's how we're going to defend ourselves. So it's not just an analogy, but we're living in a world, it's a spiritual world. Even though we're flesh and bones, but we're living against, fighting against principalities and powers, the word says. And when we have unbelief, we could take hold of that word and that comfort that that man approached God with a lack of belief, and that he asked him, increase my faith, help my unbelief. What's another thing that we can we struggle with, or another thing that an attack from Satan over our lives? You guys are a quiet bunch.
Sometimes I doubt my salvation.
Mm-hmm. What's that verse? I don't remember.
Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Amen. And that's, I think, a common lie from the devil that we constantly hear. You're not saved. You know, your sins, you're still carrying the weight of your sins. And I think there's several other verses you could take to fight against that. What's something?
Romans 6:23, the gift of God, Jesus Christ, eternal life. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Amen. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
So if we have that weight. I remember about three and a half years ago when God brought me back to him, I struggled with the weight of my sin when I backslid for 3 years. And it was just constant reminders of, do you remember that? Do you remember that? You know, you're coming to church, but you're filthy. You know, you're carrying a weight of sins on your shoulders from 3 years. And I really had to take the word of God and remember that he clothes us. The Bible says he clothes us with righteousness. It's not my righteousness. It's not my holiness, but it's his righteousness on me. And that's a really good point you brought up, Eddie. Anything else? And the devil's not going to come to somebody who is not a child of God and tell him, you're not a child of God. Because then he's kind of pointing them in the right direction, going, you need to be a child of God. So definitely the word of God is our reminder and our sword to fight back. So the devil, the flesh, the world, and in some cases even family and friends speak lies to us. And we need to refute these lies with the word of God. Not just the attacks of Satan, whether it's fear or depression or storms, but even the lies, we need to refute those lies. A very common thing, and I see that a lot these days, is young people. They go through the struggle that, and sometimes it's spoken to them from family or friends or enemies or schoolmates, classmates, and they say, you have no purpose. You're a nobody. You're not going to be anybody. Your life is not going to sum up to anything. You're no good. You're nothing. And we hear that often. But what's a wonderful verse that we can fight that lie with?
Jeremiah 29:11.
Amen. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Yeah. Definitely, I don't know how many times I have to take hold of that verse because of lies of Satan, or even of people, when people tell you, you know, hey, you're not going to amount to anything, you have no future. You don't have a degree, you don't have a job, you don't have this, you don't have that. And we think that's our truth, but it's not. We have to take hold of the Word of God and refute that lie with the Word of God. It's not just, let me just fight this lie and push it away. No, it's not true. But once we take the Word of God and apply it to the lies that are fighting against us, we're pushing that lie away, but we're also replacing it from being in our minds and our hearts. And there's like a change in us. There's that renewing of our minds and hearts. Why do we sometimes avoid the Word of God? Does it uncover things in our hearts sometimes, in our lives? Maybe it's not a sin. Maybe it's just numbness. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's hurt, you know, and it's it's covered up. And sometimes I feel that when there's something in my heart, I feel like I don't want to go to the Word of God, because the moment I go to the Word of God, He's going to put everything down on the table, and He wants to deal with it because He wants to heal it and He wants to restore my heart. And so sometimes that's we push God away, or push the Word of God away. And it's almost like at that moment, I need that healing. I need something. I need medicine, but I'm pushing medicine away. You know, it brings things into light. It brings things to the surface to be dealt with, removed, healed, restored. God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it separates the bone from the marrow, so to speak, in the skeleton of the spirit. So in your own spirit, God is doing division. God is doing some cutting, and He's moving things out that shouldn't be there. What is that exactly? It reaches into our spirit, because God's Word is spiritual. It's not just a book. It is spiritual. And this is not a new theology or new type of thinking, but God's Word is definitely spiritual. God's Word is like the hammer, iron that breaks the rock. And this metaphor is explaining the spiritual to us in a physical sense, because if you take a big rock, and that's how they break rocks sometimes with metal, with hammers, whether it's a big machine, I don't know what you call it, but what's that? Kind of, but like sometimes it's big machines that are breaking rocks from mountains. And that's kind of what the Word of God gives us, the symbolism for the Word of God is it's able to break the rocks like the hammer, because the rock, what else do you break it with, you know? It's something pretty strong, one of the strongest things, and how you break it without using something stronger than that. And that's what God uses, the symbolism, to explain His Word. But also it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. So what is that about? It discerns my thoughts and the intents of my heart, because I can't do that. You know, I have trouble discerning the thoughts and the intents of my heart. How many times have I wondered, is this thought from God? Is this word from God? Is it just me? Is it a lie of the devil? Is it just culture? Is it just tradition? And the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So I love when we hear someone say, just follow your heart. We're going to follow the deceitful thing above all things. We're not here to follow our hearts. We're here to follow God. And if God knows my heart and He could discern my heart, then He's the one who's going to reveal things to me. He's the discerner for me. He speaks to us through His Word, and He discerns things out. So He will speak to us and show us what's from him and what's from the devil. And he'll show us the lies that we're talking about. You know, when we hear these things that are lies, sometimes we start to believe them, but God is going to reveal them to us through his word, because his word is sharper than any two-edged sword. When we pray, we should come before God and bring his word to him. We should pray to God with his word. So an example is, I'm going through the storm. I'm going through the struggle, and I don't see anything good out of it. So my prayer to God would be, God, you work all things together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Romans 8:28. And so, Lord, I don't see good in this situation that I'm in, but you told me that you work all things together for good. And because you work all things together for good, I'm going to trust you with that. And as we pray, and we're praying the word of God to God, God is going to work in our minds and our hearts and give us the peace to trust him through the storms or struggles we go through. And things don't always happen overnight. I know I have very short patience for things. I want things right away. I want things to be done. I want promises answered. I want prayers answered. Isaiah 64:4 says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you who acts for the one who waits on him." Acts as in works. He's doing something for us, the one who waits on him. How long have you been waiting for something? And let me give you some encouragement. Joseph waited for how many years to see his family? How many years?
13
years to see his family. Not just see his family, but it was also, he had a promise. He had a dream from God, and he waited. I'm sure along the 13 years, probably 13,000 times he doubted that dream, doubted that promise, doubted he'd ever see his family. But also attached to his dreams, I'm sure was probably a storm of dust and communication with God. And the storm of not having his dream fulfilled, I think it created probably bitterness towards God. He didn't pray towards God. But God changed that all, and God restored that all. What about Moses? Moses did a lot of waiting. He waited in the desert for 40 years, and then he waited, you could call it waiting, in the wilderness to get to a promised land for another 40 years. 80 years of waiting. How about Abraham and Sarah? They waited for a child, waited for a promise from God. For how many years? 25. Good job, class, as my pastor Albert would always say. How about Job? He waited for some restoration and healing in his life, in his heart. He lost his family, lost everything, lost his joy. He did a lot of waiting. God sustains us. He doesn't just promise to remove all storms, because he doesn't necessarily always take the storm out of your life. You know, take you out of the storm. But he removes the storm that's in our hearts. He removes the storm in our minds. He gives us the peace from above. He sustains us. If you've gone through a lot in your life, the fact that you don't resort to the bottle or drugs or the world are definitely evidence that God is sustaining you. And if you've fallen and you're struggling with any sin, you're able to repent and ask God to lift you and restore you, and you're able to start taking the word of God and let it do the healing inside of you. The Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is like the hammer that breaks the rock. Words can't even describe it. Honestly, like, that's an analogy of the word of God, but it's not even a full description. It really isn't. It's almost like saying, you're going to try to define God. Because to try to define and completely understand God or His Word, it's beyond our minds. You know, we sometimes think, I know the Word of God, I understand it, this is what I'm reading, but it is so much deeper than we know, because the Word became flesh, and the Word is God, honestly. It pierces and cuts out, it cuts lies out of our hearts, it breaks the callousness of our hearts. The Bible says, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And this is our bread from heaven. This is our spiritual food. And that's today's word lesson. It's kind of simple, but it's a reminder that I need constantly. It's a reminder to take hold of it. Just yesterday, actually. So I'm dealing with, some of you guys know, my brother and I bought a house for my parents, and we've been dealing with the last couple months getting an architect to draw the house and finish it, and something supposed to be 1 week has been 9 weeks. And so yesterday I got the second revision of his plans, and he still didn't finish everything on it. So I sent him an email. I said, you're done. We're done working with you. You couldn't get the job done. You couldn't do it right, and it's still not done. We're done. About an hour later, I get a reply back and saying, you know, he's very unhappy, obviously, because he was partially paid. He didn't finish the job fully. And he said, I'm going to take legal action, and you have expectations for me beyond what you think could be done. And just, he went off. But as soon as he said, take legal action, just right away, this storm just fell on me. And right away, I felt like, okay, it's harder to take a deep breath. I don't want to deal with this right now. I don't want to deal with anything like this. And this is just a day before I'm about to speak here tonight. And I'm tempted to just say, you know what, Pastor Al, I can't share tonight. I'm tempted to just crawl up in the corner and let the storm, you know, ride over me. But I had to step back for a second. I said, what am I always reading the Word of God for? What is God always telling me? Do not be afraid. Be courageous. Trust in me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You believe in the Father, believe also in me. And then for a second, that just started to work in my mind. Another verse that came to mind right away was, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And so I had to take this sword, this Word of God, the sword, and fight against the storm that told me, you have another storm, you have another battle, and now all of a sudden your life is going to stop. Because our life doesn't stop. That's a lie from the devil. It doesn't stop. It doesn't halt me. It doesn't take the joy away. These storms will come, but we're going to fight them with the Word of God. And my encouragement to you guys tonight, and to me, to remind my own self, or God reminding me, is really take the Word of God for what it is. It is powerful, it is alive, it is true, and it definitely pierces into our hearts and our life, and it discerns in us. Amen. Any questions, comments, concerns?
Spot where you're feeling overwhelmed because the person's telling you he's going to take legal action.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see how my situation, for you it was the word legal action that triggered you,
mm-hmm.
right? And so for me it's a condescending form of speech or any form. Triggers
me. Mm.
Because I was raised in, you know, kind of very, you know, tough environment. So so I think that's very interesting that you say that that's probably why the Lord allows it to, you know, to reveal it to you.
Mm.
To reveal that this is an area, you know, I'm just kind of passing around, I said about the layers. There's another layer in those
mm-hmm.
particular areas. say, and even though it's hack. But it's an opportunity. So it's a good point to live for verses that, you know, can help you fight. Because you're notorious for fighting in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's what you're used to, comfort zone. So you see how you, what you're describing right now about, you know, looking for verses that you're self-aware of, you know, of what you're attacked with.
And we try to find our comfort sometimes in the flesh, like you're saying. We're used to fighting in the flesh. So right away my thought was, I told my brother, well, he was on that same email. And I'm like, trying to find that comfort through my brother. So he would say, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it, I'll deal with this. But right away it's like, that's not how things work, because I need to rely on God and not the flesh. Not on my own flesh, not the flesh of another person. But I really need to rely on God. Yes, I mean, we do counsel each other. We strengthen each other as brothers. We lift each other. But I was trying to find the comfort in that situation through the flesh. And that's not how it's supposed to be. And so not until I said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And then all of a sudden, that really just changed my heart and changed my mind. So not only did I fight that lie of the devil that your life is going to stop for until you deal with this storm, but God brought peace. So it's doing a couple things inside of me at that moment.
So when God was speaking to Joshua, mm-hmm. he was the general of the army. He said to him, and you shall meditate on this day and night, but then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a general of the army, you're supposed to be taking care of the army.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of busy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that kind of battle. Because they weren't going to win by their own swords and spears and, you know, or knock down crazy walls because of their own strength. But by reflecting on what God was saying, you know, and there's something about getting the word of God down deep into your heart, because you don't find it when you're going through the struggle. It needs to rise out of you.
Mm-hmm.
As you, like the reason why you were reflecting on, you'll keep in perfect peace with mind to stay on you, because you've reflected on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you've shared it.
Right.
Many times. So it's like ingrained in you. And so it comes up when the pressure comes. You know, so that's why it's important to memorize scripture. It's important to read scripture. It's important to ask questions about scripture, so we can get some clarity in it. So, excellent.
Good. It's amazing, just like you said, how he brings that scripture out of us. Yeah, because I wasn't holding the Bible at that moment, but it's that verse that God just reminded me with. And
a lot of times it's that moment you need it. There's times where you can say, just think of promises, just think
mm-hmm.
of sometimes you're searching, you're thinking, which is maybe can I find a good one? When that moment comes, that he speaks to you.
Yeah.
Exposes the work of the enemy. He'll still destroy. Mm-hmm. He says, I expose what the enemy wants to do, and I bring life. Life in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the word is important in our lives. We forget sometimes, because when the storm comes, our focus and our attention is to the storm. And you know, it's the famous story of Jesus sleeping on the boat. But
mm-hmm.
it wants to take our attention. The storms will take our attention away. It chokes us up.
Mm-hmm.
Gives us life, life in abundance. And it says, and he was in Lebanon for a while. I was like, wait, what is this saying? It would say, you know, that all these died in faith, not receiving their promise.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on and it says that they had the opportunity to return back to their hometown. It says, but they look forward to a heavenly one,
mm-hmm.
a heavenly city. And then it says at the end, it says, for that, God was not ashamed to be called their God. And I'm thinking, well, just the life, you know, as we've been learning in Genesis,
mm-hmm.
the life that they go through. And that verse, I remember for me, I was like, wow, these died in faith, not receiving their promises. But they had faith in God, and the Word of God helps us in those moments where, you know, maybe, you know, we want that promise answered quickly, everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
We want that express line at the counters and everything. But we want it, but we just got to put our faith in God and know that ultimately, to me, I just got to remind myself, ultimately, He's in control. But ultimately, our sight, He's already given us the greatest gift, which is eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest gift, eternal life in the Son Jesus. And we may want this, and whatever it is we're praying for. And we just pray, we believe, and then put it in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said in John, you know, that we may have life. These are written so that we may believe and have life in Christ Jesus.
Amen. What can we do practically? Sometimes we know what's our weakness. You know. Let's say I have a weakness of
chocolate.
Well, I don't know. That's a spiritual weakness. Well, maybe in my case, because it's like a real. But if I know I have a specific weakness or struggle or a lie that keeps reoccurring, maybe I can sit down and pull out a couple verses from the Word of God to have those memorized and be ready for when that lie comes or that attack comes. Because sometimes in the midst of it, if I'm not having the scripture, certain verses memorized, they're not going to come to remembrance, right? But let's say I have fear as my weakness. Why don't I sit down and practically take 1, 2, 3 verses, even one verse, that's all it takes, the Word of God, one verse, and just memorize that verse. And this way, when that attack comes, when that lie of the devil comes, I'm able to fight with that sword. Because if I come to a spiritual fight empty-handed, what is that going to do? You know? Yeah. But when I'm ready with the sword, I'm ready to fight that attack. I have a really good chance of having victory in that attack, in that fight, a battle.
That's exactly what David was saying. How can a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed to your word. And I've hidden your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. So he was reflecting, meditating, exactly what you're saying.
Anything else anybody want to share? Any other questions, comments?
Reading it sometimes can be considered a discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned earlier that anything that you're told that you should do,
mm-hmm.
you are repelled from doing it. But it is a discipline, and when you realize the importance of something strong enough, then even when you don't feel like doing it, like I'm sure even those who are into fitness don't always feel like working out, right?
Yeah.
Not always.
Right.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
A bit odd.
There's going to be days where they just don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's just something that, and so there's just this commitment to doing what you know needs to be done, and then, you know, the feelings eventually will follow. And so just making it a habit every day to spend some time reading, reflecting, memorizing,
mm-hmm.
Or going through a certain number of, you know, chapters or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
For each person it's going to be different. I think this is just an important thing to ask God for direction and a passion so many useful tools today. There's like Bible apps and all kinds of things that are just so easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Reminders on our phones and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
True.
One of the things I like to bring up because it happened to me is always remember or know that God speaks to us. It could be a verse that we've read many, many times. Somebody else read it to us. God can give us fresh revelation, a fresh answer. We may be going through a different period in our time and he can speak to us. A long time ago, when I first started going to Bible study, we were in 2 Samuel, and it was the story of King David and Absalom, his son Absalom. And I remember going home and just reading the whole story because I wanted to know. And then shortly after, I decided to go back to the beginning and start reading the Bible. And as I was reading it, I got to that point, and I remember, and I never forget this, I remember saying, oh, I know this story already. And I remember I closed the Bible and I just set it down. And the next day I tried to read it and it was hard because it was almost like pride, oh, I know this already. Not being teachable.
Yeah.
Oh, this story, I'm good, you know. And it creates almost like a hardening. Where I just didn't want to, and even wanting to get back into it, it was like, wow, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So always remain teachable and always know that he's going to speak to us. Whether it's your first time going through it, your 10th time going through it, whatever it is, he's going to give us, continue to speak to us freshly, and it's new, and it's living, and it's awesome. And like I said, we go through different periods in our lives, and what he spoke to us when we were first starting, maybe it's a different answer or a different conversation 5 years later. So
mm-hmm.
I always know that it's always going to be, it's always alive. The word of God is alive.
Amen.
It's always speaking to us. So just always know that.
Amen. So true. Close. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your wonderful word that you give us, Lord. Thank you for your word that is not just a book on a shelf. It's not a story, but truly is alive, as my brother said. It's alive and it's refreshing and it's constantly working in us because it knows us better than we know it, Lord. And you know us better than we know ourselves. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your promise. We thank you that your word is our sword and our comfort, our strength, our hope, our peace. I pray, Father God, that tonight as we heard about your word, Lord, that it would ignite a passion in us for your word, Lord. And not just that, but it would also break the unwillingness for us to be disciplined in your word. I pray that we would be disciplined to sit down and spend time with you. I pray that we wouldn't just see it as a duty or a chore, Lord, but that we would truly see it for what it is, to sit down and to spend time with you and to talk to you and to listen to you, just to have communion with you, Lord. I pray that we would do that. I pray that we would take hold of your word and memorize it, Lord. We thank you for your word, and we just ask that as we take hold of your word as our sword, Lord, that we truly use it as you have intended for us to use your word, Lord, to fight the battles that we face. In Jesus' name, amen.